Now, back to Point of View, your listener-supported source for truth.
Dr. John Lott with us, and if you'd like to join us, 1-800-351-1212. Before we get to some phone calls, Dr. Lott, let's, if we can, talk about Australia, because both President Barack Obama, as well as former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, have pointed to Australia as a positive example of what could happen in this country, mass killing many decades ago, and so they were able to remove so many guns from the population. You have a chapter, chapter 9, in your book about that. What should we know about that Australian example?
Right. Well, I'm not really sure most people kind of understand exactly what happened with the laws there. Back in 96 and 97, as you point out, the government did a gun buyback where they bought back about a third of the guns that were legally owned in the country at the time. The thing is, people were able to go and buy guns again after that. And by 2010, the gun ownership rate was back to where it was prior to the buyback. Well, if you think that these, you know, getting rid of guns somehow makes people safer, you would imagine this big one-third drop within a year would have caused a big drop in murder rates and violent crime rates. But then as gun ownership rates went back up again, you should have seen an increase then after that in those crime rates. And that's not what you observed. You murder rates and firearm suicides fell after the buyback, but they fell at a slightly slower rate than they were falling before the buyback. There was no big sudden drop and then some gradual increase over time as the percentage of the population with guns went back up. In fact, with armed robbery, you saw the exact opposite.
Yeah, it went up, yes.
Big jump up, and then gradually over time it went down rather than a big jump down and then gradually going up. And I think, you know, just another example where gun control advocates at best have not been very careful with the empirical work that you do. But I think the graphs that we have in Chapter 9 of the War on Guns are, you know, pretty powerful.
I'd say so. And again, sometimes it's hard on radio for you to see the graphs. Get the book. As you look at those graphs, you go, wow, okay, just the opposite of what we're hearing. And that's why you need to sort of dig into some of this. And that's why, again, we commend to you the book, The War on Guns, Arming Yourself Against Gun Control Lies. Let's go to some phone calls. We'll head out to Louisiana first. KPAE. Ricky, what would you like to say?
Sort of dig into some of this. And
Ricky, turn down your radio. We're ready to hear from you.
War on Guns, Arming Yourself Against Gun Control Lies. Let's go to
Rick, are you ready now? Rick, are you there?
Thank you, Kurt. Appreciate it. I wanted to make a comment. The massacre they had in France last year doing that rock concert, one of the lead singers of that concert was totally anti-gun before that happened. And then after that happened, he made a 100% change. He said, man, he says, until nobody has guns, everybody should have a gun. And then Howard Stern, who you think is rabid, you know, pro-liberal, anti-gun, he came out and said, buddy, everybody should have a gun, because if you took all the guns out of the world, you'd have big men beating up little women, or big men beat up little men with big sticks, and the big men with the big sticks would win. And so it would actually be worse if you took all the guns out in the world, because back to the caveman days when the big brute person would win everything. So actually, just like Colt said, you know, the Colt was the great equalizer. A little bitty woman can defend herself against a big guy. And one example was during Katrina, when all the white girls in a Superdome were raped by gangs of the blacks. I guarantee you, they might have went to the Superdome as Democrats, because most college kids are, but the ones that survived the raping by the 30-plus gangs, I guarantee you, they turned to Republican and wish they had a gun on them next time around. Anyhow, that's all I wanted to say, Kirby. Thanks for letting me get on.
What about concealed carry? Because that's another thing that came from your book, Dr. Lott, that isn't it fair to say that over a quarter of all the concealed handgun permits are owned by women? As Ricky said just a minute ago, that sometimes can be the great equalizer, can't it?
Yeah, no, concealed carry permits by women are increasing at a much faster rate than it is for men overall. And it's good to see that, because women benefit much more than men do from having a concealed carry permit. Both benefit, but people who are relatively weaker physically benefit relatively more from having a gun for protection. I did want to mention one thing with regard to the November Paris attack. There were actually 8 off-duty police officers in the concert hall when the attack occurred. The problem is that none of those off-duty police officers were allowed in France to be able to carry their guns with them.
Wow.
When they were there. So I've seen an interview with a couple police officers afterwards where the law still hasn't been changed, but these officers are saying they don't really care what the law is anymore. They're going to carry their handguns with them when they're in public off-duty. And, you know, it's just this amazing situation where you trust officers when they're on duty, but somehow as soon as they get off of duty, you no longer trust them to be able to act responsibly
amazing.
With the gun.
Let's take another quick phone call. I just wanted to get one because I wanted to ask you a question. Kathleen in Texas, KBJS, you're on with Dr. John Lott.
Okay, thank you. I just came back from a tour of England, and our tour guide, who was English, basically said that they were looking at the U.S. kind of with disdain because England has a very strict gun law. People there do not have guns. Therefore, when a crime is committed with a gun, the penalty is very severe, so people just don't use guns when they commit a crime. Have you looked into the situation in England? And I didn't know how to answer him because I didn't know.
Right. Well, there's a chapter in the book on looking at different countries before and after they have gun bans go into effect, and England is one of the countries that there's a section on. And what you find in all countries that pass gun bans, including the UK when they passed their handgun ban in January 1997, you actually saw an increase in murder rates there, increased by about 50% over the next 8 years. Now, it was still lower than the murder rate in the United States, but it had gone up relative to what it had been before the ban was there. This is just a simple point, and that is, it's really misleading just to look across countries, and because there's so many things that can vary. I mean, you go back to England before they had any gun control laws. Their first gun control laws were in 1920, and you'll find years immediately before that where there'd be something like 2 or 3 gun murders in London, a city of 8.5 million people. I mean, it's hard to get your mind around gun ownership being very common. You know, guns took all types of forms. I mean, you get newspapers from the time, and you'll see people advertising walking stick guns and book guns and briefcase guns and
sure.
About everything you can possibly imagine.
Just about out of time. But again, I wanted to make sure that people were able to find some of the resources that you have. And again, the book is entitled The War on Guns, Arming Yourself Against Gun Control Lies. And also, Dr. Lott, I always point people to crimeresearch.org because that's a place where they can find a lot of the Crime Prevention Research Center materials. So as always, thank you for being on the program. We need to give you 2 hours because there's so much to cover, but thank you for joining us today here on Point of View.
No, thank you very much. Just one thing to say, people who are familiar with my book, More Guns, Less Crime, I actually think that this is my most important book on guns, the new one, The War on Guns.
I think so. Again, we are taking a break, but just before we do so, I would encourage you as we come into the month of August, certainly we need to hear from you. So your gift today is really needed, and you can visit our website, pointofview.net, and make a donation. We'll be back with more right after this.
Did you know there's an approved healthcare choice just for Christians that's founded on the timeless principles in God's Word? It's not insurance. It's MediShare. Over 189,000 believers across America who love God and share each other's healthcare bills. It's about half the cost of health insurance, and you never pay for medical practices that go against your Christian beliefs. Best of all, the healthcare law includes a special provision for MediShare members, so you don't have to buy insurance or face penalties. MediShare is affordable healthcare without compromise.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your health care. For your free information guide, call 855-BIBLE-11. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical health care. Call 855-BIBLE-11. That's 855-BIBLE-11.
Cast your vote today for Point of View Radio. Please become a monthly partner at pointofview.net, pointofview.net, or call 800-347-5151. Point of View will continue after this.